17 seconds and counting. Guidance internal. 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3, 2. All engines running.
Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are willing to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Okay, engine stop. ATA at a descent. Flight control mode auto, descent engine command override off. Engine arm on. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Today on Cosmic Perspective Radio from the Northeast Astro Forum in Suffern, New York, my guest is Dr. Mike Reynolds. He is a professor of astronomy at Florida State College, executive director of Lunar and Planetary Observers, and is here to talk to us about the great eclipse, great American eclipse, I should say, this year on August 21st.
That's a fun thing to add, quite frankly, because this is an all-American eclipse.
It is, and when's the last time we had an all-American eclipse?
Well, the last time we had a total solar eclipse at all in the United States was actually 1979. The last all-American eclipse, the only place it touched was the United States, was like 1927. It's been a long time.
So the eclipse will start in the Pacific, basically, and
that's
then
correct.
In the Atlantic?
That's correct. What will happen is the shadow will first reach land in Oregon and then sweep across the United States. It's interesting. The shadow, when it first touches the United States, is moving about 2,500 miles per hour. And then when it slows down a bit, as the sun gets more overhead, it's down to a mere 1,400 miles per hour. And then it eventually exits out just north of Charleston, South Carolina. So it just sweeps across the United States and coast to coast, which will be terrific.
How many years will it be before we can see this again?
Believe it or not, there's another American eclipse that happens in 2024. And that actually starts in Mexico, goes to Texas, and actually makes an X. It touches Carbondale, Illinois, which gets both of these eclipses. So talk about being in the right place at the right time. Carbondale, Illinois gets both the 2017 and the 2024 eclipse.
That's a pretty good deal.
It is. It is.
I want to talk a little bit about just the history of eclipses. You mentioned that people were actually executed because they didn't predict the correct time of an eclipse.
You talk about job security or lack thereof. The Chinese emperor had astronomers on his staff to predict what was going to go on in the heavens and explain certain phenomena. That's why the Chinese are well known for, you know, describing meteor showers and supernova and eclipses. So there were these two astronomers by the name of Si and Ho. And apparently, as the story goes, they had a little bit too much to drink and forgot to predict a total solar eclipse. So as the eclipse occurs, and of course the emperor, who wants to show his divinity by saying there's going to be a total solar eclipse tomorrow, was quite embarrassed, had the two astronomers brought before him, and had them terminated, like had their heads removed. So you talk about a rough way to lose your job. They were actually executed for not predicting the eclipse.
I've heard of things like being burnt at the stake, but never beheaded for an eclipse.
I tell you what, you think about being an astronomer today, and you say, oh my gosh, we got computers do that sort of thing. But can you imagine being executed because you failed to predict an eclipse?
Columbus had an experience with the eclipse.
There are all sorts of eclipse stories today. Columbus one is, in a sense, a little bit disheartening. So what happened is Columbus and his men ended up in Jamaica, and he had convinced the Jamaican natives to bring he and his men food and liquor. And they got a little bit tired of this after a while, and they said, we're not going to bring you any more food or liquor. Well, Columbus happened to know there was going to be a total eclipse of the moon, told the natives that, hey, if you stop bringing me and my men liquor and food, I'm going to make the moon go away. And yeah, right, it's not going to happen. Columbus, come on now. You think we're this dumb? Well, of course, the lunar eclipse occurred. And the natives came to him, oh, please return the moon. We'll bring you whatever you want all the time. And Columbus basically said, okay, I'm going to return it this one time. But if you do it again, I'm going to take it away for good. The eclipse ended, of course. And they brought him the food and liquor he needed until he finally left Jamaica.
I have never seen a total eclipse myself. But from what everyone tells me, that it is such a spectacular event. So I can understand why in times when people didn't know what they were, particularly a solar eclipse, why they felt that something mystical or maybe religious was going to happen.
There was a variety of that sort of thing. For example, the Babylonians had a belief that a bad omen would happen once there was a total solar eclipse. And so they had their astrologers who were looking for where that bad omen was going to happen. Back to the Chinese. The Chinese believed that a dragon was eating the sun. In fact, they used the word qi for an eclipse, C-H-I-H, which means to eat. So they thought there was actually a dragon eating the sun. And there's also another Chinese legend that it was actually a dog that was eating the sun. So no matter what, something was eating the sun, according to some of these earlier myths. And there were a lot of different myths and stories around the world like that. Mostly, though, bad news, bad omens. The eclipse occurred. Something had to scare it off. Even today, there's some interesting things that are practiced. A lot of different people groups will turn spoons and utensils over so the evil rays don't get into their spoon and pick it up. The Japanese cover wells so the evil rays of the eclipse don't get into their wells. And worldwide, it's not uncommon to see different people groups ask pregnant women to stay inside so the eclipse won't affect the unborn baby.
So there are still superstitions today.
Yes, there are. Yes,
amazing.
There are.
Where's the best place to view the eclipse?
Interesting question. And the kind of funny line I give is, where it's clear. Obviously, you want to be where it's going to be clear. However, having said that, the number one goal should be somewhere along that path of totality. The center line is only about 67 miles wide. Of course, it runs from Oregon all the way through the Midwest and through the Southeast, but you need to be within that center line. Being outside of it, you'll see a partial eclipse. And I once heard an analogy, I think it was terrific. Seeing a partial eclipse compared to a total eclipse is like going to the Super Bowl and sitting out in the parking lot versus going inside the Super Bowl. And so you won't go to the Super Bowl. You won't go sit in the parking lot. You won't go inside the Super Bowl. And I will tell you, having seen 18 total solar eclipses, it's spectacular. I try to describe it or show pictures, and you just can't find the words or the descriptions to tell people and to show people pictures. I take some pretty good pictures of eclipses, but I'll tell you, it's something that you just got to see. You got to, I call it an experience rather than just see, because it is such a variety of things that happen around the total solar eclipse.
I've seen partial eclipses.
Right.
They're pretty cool to see, honestly.
They are cool.
They're really cool.
But come back to me and talk to me after August 21st, and I'll bet you have a whole different perspective.
Well, I can't wait, honestly. I can't wait. I listened to the audio of people who witnessed a total solar eclipse. I didn't see the video and just listened to it. Unbelievable.
It is.
People just go from crying sometimes and yelling and just... So I know that it's got to be something spectacular.
I have seen all those emotions. I've seen people cry. One eclipse trip was kind of interesting. We were on with several friends and others who joined us. There was a Muslim man who, after totality, spent time, with Allah, where across from him was a Christian who was praying. It was just like, wow, this thing just touches people in a very interesting way. And everyone's a little bit different. Like I say, some people get very emotional. Some people will be just so joyous or yelling and shouting and screaming. Other people just don't say anything because they don't. Words can't describe it.
And I understand that every eclipse has its own signature.
Yes. You know, people ask me, Reynolds, come on, 18 total solar eclipses? Why have you gone to 18? Well, it's a simple answer. Go to one and you'll understand. And again, it's something that every one of them is different, different memories, different things that stood out in my mind. Like 1979, the February 26th eclipse, the shadow was very prominent. I can remember very brilliant colors for the 2012 eclipse. Sometimes the sky gets very, very dark. Sometimes it's a little lighter. There's so many different factors there. 1991, we were in Mexico, south of Mexico City, and it was a very long total eclipse. And the skies were just so dark, it amazed me. I remember looking over and seeing Mount Popo and just getting that feel for it. It almost looked three-dimensional. The way the light was playing kind of, I'd say, tricks on my eyes, but it was pretty amazing.
So you've seen the shadow of the moon during an eclipse?
Yes, I have.
I heard that's amazing.
It fools you at first, but you don't realize it's the shadow. You're maybe 10 minutes before totality, maybe 15, and you look out towards the direction the shadow's coming from, usually north, northwest, somewhere in that area. And it'll look kind of dark on the horizon. All of a sudden, it looks like a thunderstorms building, clouds, and you realize that's the shadow of the moon racing towards you. Temperature starts dropping because the earth is cooling. I've seen references anywhere from 10 to 20 degrees Fahrenheit temperature drop. The wind picks up as the earth is cooled underneath where the shadow has reached those particular points, and you know, the sun's being covered up. And so weather phenomena, just incredible. The changes it can make in weather.
I've even heard that animals react to the
They do. Yeah, they do. I remember my very first eclipse was March 7, 1970, Waycross, Georgia. We went to basically a cattle farm, a cow pasture. And as totality approached, it's getting darker, the cows turned around to go back to the barn. And totality hit, was over. They turned back around, came back outside like it was another day. And birds find ways to roost during totality, and then the night's over and they're back at it again. Talk about biological clocks. You can imagine how those must be kind of messed up.
I'd like to also talk about safety, about people viewing the eclipse. And I know that a lot of people think that they could just go out and see it. And I'd like to talk to you about if you have some tips for people on what they should do.
Well, first of all, it's not the eclipse that causes the issue. It's the sun. You should just never look the sun without the proper type of protection. What you can do, though, is you can buy some of these eclipse glasses. They're relatively inexpensive, probably up until the time of the eclipse. They'll probably become more expensive, about a dollar or two a pair. And they're a type of mylar or film that takes out 99.99% of the incoming light and harmful radiation. Well, make sure the glasses are what they call certified. It's either CE or different types of certification, but make sure your glasses are certified because you don't want to get a pair that will leak harmful radiation. So you wear these like sunglasses, except they're much better than sunglasses because they will protect your eyes. Sunglasses will not work. You gotta use these sort of solar filters. The other thing you can do is you can do some pinhole projection. People used to play a lot with pinhole cameras and pinhole projectors, basically taking a piece of cardboard, poking a hole in it, and letting that project the partial eclipse. So in addition to pinhole projection, you can actually use certain types of telescopes to project your image safely. But again, just need to use some caution not to look through the scope unless you have a filter, the right type of filter, on your telescope.
Yes, you burn your eye instantly. The telescope is a very big magnifying glass.
It would be not a good day. I'm reminded of the three blind mice when I think about that.
I know people talk about taking pictures, look through telescopes, but my guess is the best way to see the eclipse for your first time is a pair of these rated glasses.
Maybe a pair of binoculars in addition to that during totality, but there's so much that goes on that you almost don't need to take time to take a picture unless you're into that. It's a whole different skill set to take pictures of eclipses. Not that it can't be done, but this is your first or second eclipse. Forget the camera. I'd almost say forget the telescope. Use a pair of binoculars. So much is going on. You can see planets and stars, and in addition to the eclipse sun.
With the filters that you can purchase that will fit over the end of your binoculars.
Yes, you can. You can get filters that will slip easily over the ends of your binoculars. So you look at the partial face, and of course, during totality, you don't need any filters at all. You want to take those filters off come totality. You want to take those glasses off come totality.
Dr. Reynolds, you're getting me very excited already. And
I get a little excited about these things, as you can well tell.
And I haven't been yet, and I'm excited about seeing my first. If people would like to know where they should go to get an idea of how to be safe with this, what would they do?
There are several really good websites. You can Google 2017 eclipse. Fred Espinek, who kind of I consider the dean of eclipses, MrEclipse.com. Michael Zeiler and his wife, Polly, you go to their site, Great American Eclipse. So there's a variety of websites. There's a lot of really good information out there, a variety of websites you can go to.
So please, everyone, take care. Be careful before you see this amazing event. Dr. Reynolds, thanks so much for being on Cosmic Perspective Radio.
You're welcome. My honor. And clear skies to everyone in the shadow in August.
Cosmic Perspective Radio is an Andy Poneros production.